welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the grand opening of the new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And we're going to talk to some of the folks that are responsible for this beautiful new facility in just a moment. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Maintaining personal readiness ensures that our force is physically and mentally prepared to execute the mission. It can be challenging for service members who drill 1 week in a month to maintain the fitness level of those on active duty. That's why every Minnesota National Guard unit has leaders to assist soldiers and airmen with maintaining fitness goals and healthy lifestyles. As the Army prepares to roll out the new combat fitness test, it's vital for our service members to take advantage of the resources their units provide. In the meantime, make sure you have a healthy eating plan, get 7 to 9 hours of sleep daily, and of course, drink water, preferably a minimum of 8 cups per day. Please join me in making a commitment to the health and wellness of our force so we can ensure the Minnesota National Guard is always ready.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me today, we have a co-host with us who you're going to hear in the future. He's recently retired State Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Doug, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, great to be in here with you at this great facility. And what a great opportunity to get through here and check out what we have available for our service members who happen to be passing through Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Just great.
And in your career, you've seen these facilities all over the country, and in my view, this one is beautiful.
But yeah,
we're going to get to that in a minute. We've got a couple of special guests with us. Starting out, we have Deborah Kane, the Executive Director of the Armed Forces Service Center here at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, and Rick Dale, who is the President of the Board of Directors. Deb, Rick, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Deborah, you've been on the show with us several times in the past, but this one's kind of exciting. You're going to have a big day today, grand opening.
It is. Full circle moment for you since you came through here after Vietnam.
Well, I can remember a very small service center out by the front entrance back in 1970 when I was going in and out of here, and I was thankful for it because it was kind of a safe place to go, and I didn't know what I was getting into. But when you gave us a tour this morning, or Rick showed us around, and what a beautiful facility. But we want to get into a little bit of the history. How long have you been here now?
I started 1 month after 9/11.
And you've been very busy ever since, haven't you?
Hit the ground running, yep.
So after 9/11 happened, did the number of people, number of service members coming in, did that pick up pretty drastically?
Yes, and then we were asked to do a lot of troop movement that wasn't for public knowledge, so we were heavily involved with staging and the troop call-up.
And you established a new program called a troop greeter program.
Yes, that was in 2006 after receiving a call from a first lieutenant out of Iraq on his way to Kaneohe Bay, 350 Marines.
Now, as I recall when you explained that last time, the plane will land. And it's got troops on it, but they kind of quarantine it, and they can't leave the area. So they couldn't come to you, so you went to them.
Yes, we were in a hangar, restricted area, kind of like Bangor, Maine. But we've done probably over 400 military charter flights, either with their first or their last touchdown on U.S. soil.
And what type of goods do you bring when you go visit them?
Everything from beverages to snacks, hot dogs, pizza. That's for the outbound, and then the inbound, toiletries and a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee, and I'll bet they're glad to see you.
Yep.
All right, we're going to get back to that in a minute, but Rick, I want to talk to you for a little bit. You were in the Air Force just a little before I was.
Yes.
Back in the late 60s, early 70s. So we've got something in common there. At least we got some Air Force. We got the soldiers sitting here with us today.
Right, you know, that's right.
We've always got soldiers.
You might want to slow down a little bit for that.
Uh-oh. Sergeant Ben is, and the Sergeant Major's got any comment about
well,
that, Sergeant Major?
I mean, I was going to say if there was Marines in the room, then we might want to slow down. But, I mean, come on.
Well, we can talk about that. Now, your dad served in World War II. So did mine. Mine was in the Marines in the Pacific. But you've got one of your children is a gunny sergeant in the Marines.
Yep. Yep. He's had a very good 13-year run, and he's currently a detachment commander at an American embassy in the Middle East.
And I would imagine, because the military runs in your family, that had a lot to do with both the fact that you've joined the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center board, and you also are the chair of a couple of Teed Up for the Troop charity golf events.
Yes, I've been involved with Teed Up for the Troops for going on 9 years now. and started originally at the event that we do out in Lakeville at Brackets Crossing Country Club. And a little over 5 years ago, I accepted the role as the lead person for the what is the original Teed Up for the Troops event at Mendicoto Country Club. So that keeps me busy in the summer, and this can keep me busy year-round here.
Well, we both know what it's like to run some golf events because I do that for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you helped us with that, and we appreciate that very much. And just so glad to see you out here today on the opening day, the grand opening.
It's an exciting day.
I'll bet it's been a lot of work for the board and for everybody over the last couple of years.
You know what? I've lost track of the number of meetings we've gone to over the last year.
But at least you get to go with a delightful lady, Ms. Deb Kane.
Well, and my day typically starts about 6:30 when she starts sending me text messages about what went wrong the day before.
And so you sit up straight and say, yes, ma'am, let's go fix this. Yeah. We're talking to Rick Dale and Deborah Kane from the grand opening of the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, this place, as we said, goes back many years, like 49 years now. Is that right, Deborah?
Yeah.
And it looks like you're set for the next 49 years in these spiffy digs here.
I know we are. We went from 600 square feet to over 4,900 square feet. So from 1970 to 2020.
You could almost get lost in here.
I know.
So you're located inside security now instead of on the other side of security. Do you like that? Is that going to? Do you think that's going to help us serve more of the troops?
Oh my goodness! The pass through traffic, as we refer to it, we knew it was going to go up. It's gone up, I think, more than we anticipated. So we were actually a little concerned in the early stages of planning that we were at the end of the C concourse, at the top end of the A concourse, that people wouldn't find us. People have not had any trouble at all finding us. The pass-through numbers are way up. More families. We're seeing more families with children come through. I think these were people that were passing through the airport in the past. Maybe had an hour and a half, 2 hours, and just didn't want to go outside security to have to then re-enter security, so they didn't come visit us. But now that we're in here, that traffic has definitely picked up as well. And we're seeing a lot of shorter visits, you know, people that'll pop in now if they can only be here for 45 minutes, where if you've only had a few minutes, you weren't going to, you know, you weren't going to go outside the secure area. So the traffic has definitely picked up from the active duty service members, retirees that we welcome into the center. So over the last 8 weeks, the word wow, I've heard hundreds and hundreds of times.
For our listeners, the new Armed Forces Service Center is when you come into the airport and you clear security, you head north and go over to the C concourse, go all the way down to the end of the C concourse, right where the A and B concourses start, and then go upstairs. It's on the second floor, and you'll be amazed. It's a beautiful facility, and glad to hear the traffic is up. We were worried about where are you going to put it, and how did they put it here? That must have been in partnership with the Airport Commission.
Yes, it was. They started back in 2018, I think it was, because of the airport expansion. And so the mezzanine out in the ticketing area is coming down in February. So with the expansion, comes our, our move.
And so you work very closely with the Airport Commission, and I understand that you've got a lot of donations to help to fit this place out.
Yes, we did. We were able to raise at least $200,000, and then we had assistance from the state of Minnesota in helping that effort.
Now, let's talk about the Armed Forces Service Center. It's been here for 49 years. It's a 501c3 nonprofit.
Correct.
And you're not affiliated with the USO.
That's correct.
So you rely on volunteers and you rely on donations.
Absolutely.
And it's been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 49 years.
That's correct. So there are 7 privately run facilities across the country, but the AFSC is the only one open 24/7. And out of 250 USOs, there are 50 located at an airport, but only 8 open 24/7.
So you're one of the few.
One of the few.
And even on 9/11, when some of the airports were closed, you were open.
Yes, and we had 15 Marines stranded for 3 days.
So you had to take care of those Marines.
Yeah, they wouldn't leave the center, actually.
So I'd have called Rick in and said, Rick, take care of those Marines. He knows how to do that. So let's talk about volunteers. You couldn't do this without volunteers.
Absolutely. No, we could not. Yeah, so, that's why I think a lot of the privately run facilities and the USOs have a hard time being open 24/7. But thankfully, Minnesota leads that effort in terms of the spirit of volunteerism. So our greatest need is always midnight to 4 a.m. and 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. for volunteers. But we now have 3 volunteers per shift, and they're all badged because you have to have it based on the uptick in traffic. And we've gone from, 1,900 square feet to 4,900. So it's a huge facility, and we need the help, and without them, we would not exist.
Well, we're going to talk about those volunteers a little bit when we come back. We have to take a short break, but for our listeners, if you go to MNAFSC.org, that's Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center, MNAFSC.org, there's a page there that I saw this morning where you can click on volunteer and you can download a form, and you have to go through security, of course. We're out at the airport, and you need volunteers, and you've had volunteers. Some of these volunteers have been here for decades, haven't they?
Yes.
But what a great organization. We're speaking with Deborah Kane and Rick Dale at the grand opening of the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're out at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport for the grand opening of the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center. My co-host is Doug Wortham, who's joined us out here, and we had a nice tour of the place this morning, and we're talking to Deb Kane and Rick Dale about the Armed Forces Service Center out here. And before we went to break, we started talking about volunteers. And Deb, you and I have talked about volunteers before, but you must have an awful lot of them to keep all of the hours. You've been open 24/7 for 49 years.
Yes, we have approximately 200 volunteers, but we would like to have 400 volunteers because, it's three volunteers per four-hour shift.
So if somebody wanted to just put in 4 hours a week, they could go in onto your website, which is mnafsc.org, download the information sheet for a volunteer, send it in to you. They have to go through a security clearance, right?
They go through orientation. We have a volunteer orientation. They go through orientation, training. Then they get their badge.
You know, I do have a question for you about that, because it seems like every volunteer that I've interacted with has been just so pleasant and so welcoming. So I have to imagine that's part of the screening criteria for you.
Most of them are service-connected. Either they served or their kids are in service, so that kind of helps. It's not a requirement, but it does help.
So they're a little bit like Rick. His dad was in the military. He was in the military. His son served in the military. And that's why he helps with the golf tournaments and helps out here. And you got him a few years back. And how'd you convince him to be president of the board?
Terry Branham.
Talked him into it. Was it a hard sell?
No.
No.
don't tell my wife that.
So this is, once again, a 501c3 nonprofit. Not related to the USO, and that's another question we'll get to a little bit later. But you rely on volunteers, and you could use as many new volunteers as possible. Some people have been out here for decades, I understand, Deb.
Absolutely, yes.
And then you rely on donations. Rick, what's the budget, and how do you raise money to pay the bills?
So it costs us approximately $190,000 a year to run the center, which is significant. There are a number. So we get no public money, no funds from the state or the federal government. We run strictly on donations. The various VFWs and Legions, other veteran service organizations around the state help support us. We get donations from Delta Airlines and other corporations in the area. Some other nonprofits Teed Up for the Troops as a donor. So, we reach out to lots of places. Every $500 that we can get helps us, a great deal. So
part of the duties of you and the board of directors is fundraising all year long.
So Deborah does an awful lot of Deborah's got her hand out a lot.
Well, she asked me for money. How could you turn her down? Deb.
We're trying.
Yeah. So the volunteers, and again, even though it sounds like 200 is a big number, we really do need more volunteers. And we can tell that with the expansion here and the added pass-through traffic that we're getting, our costs are going to go up. Food is one of our bigger expenses. So we're doing a pretty good job of managing that over an annual basis. But we still need donations.
Now, Deb, this place is a lot bigger than the other one, and it's beautiful. Can you walk us through some of the amenities that you have here?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. We are, we have now, with the 4,900 square foot expansion, we have a business center. We have a playroom. We have a bag room for, you know, carry-on baggage. And then we have a checked bag room. And then we have a lounge area, which is expanded. 75-inch TV in the lounge, one for the volunteers, then a large dining room, large kitchen. Then we go into the added features. We now have three bathrooms, a shower. We've expanded our bunk room from 20 bunks for men to 30 for men. And then we went from six for women to 10 with two cribs. So it's pretty huge.
Sergeant Major, we took that tour this morning. Even those bunk rooms look, they're brand new. They look really good. There's lights in there and electrical so you can charge up all your equipment that everybody carries today. It's a pretty nice center.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's no reason for someone not to stop in here when they've got that layover if they're eligible to be here because the facility is fantastic and it looks very welcoming for our visitors to come through and take advantage of this great opportunity and great place.
And it's all free. Everything. So all the funds we raise is so that we can provide everything free to traveling current service members and their families.
Now, Rick, did you study some other service centers around the country to see how you wanted this one to look?
Yes, we did. And actually, a lot of that you can do just by searching them out on the web, you know, because everybody's going to put up pictures and photographs of their centers. So we were able to do that. When I was working, I traveled a lot, and I spent a lot of time in Northwest or Delta, you know, elite clubs. So what I had in my head when we started the design was I'm thinking I want it to look like an airline lounge as much as we can and not a barracks.
When you had a whole room full of lounge chairs like the one I've got at home that I fall asleep in every night. Yeah. And there were some fellas out there sleeping today.
You're
going to keep them awake pretty soon, though, aren't you?
Yeah.
Grand opening ceremony.
We got a couple hundred people hopefully showing up here within the next hour to get us through the grand opening.
Well, we're thrilled with the opportunity to come out and look at the new Armed Forces Service Center out at the Minneapolis St. Paul International Airport. And, Deb, this is a little different. Usually we have you come into the studio.
Right.
But now we're out here with Sergeant Ben and all of his equipment, and we're recording from your new service center. This is kind of fun.
We're recording from our new conference room, I forgot to mention. So, woohoo!
Once again, we're out here for the grand opening of the new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center on Minnesota Military Radio. And for our listeners, if you want to donate or volunteer, please go to mnafsc.org. And you can download a form to become a volunteer and come out and take some shifts. And, of course, any funds that you give donate to the Armed Forces Service Center goes to a 501c3 nonprofit. So that's good, a good way to do it. And if you want to find it, you go into the airport, clear security, go down to the very end of Concourse C and right where Concourse A and B start, then go up to the second floor, and that's where our new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center is. Sergeant Major, this place is fantastic.
It is. And, you know, I think it's important to once again explain to our listening audience about who actually can come in here, right? I mean, so I just recently retired. Do I just need a retiree ID card and I can come in and take advantage of this great the services that you provide? Or who do you want to cater to?
So entrance criteria at this time is our active duty service members, their families, and that includes National Guard and Reserve units. Retired military and Purple Heart recipients, Medal of Honor winners are all welcome to come into the center. Unfortunately, that's where we have to restrict it at this point. Just from a financial perspective, there's only so much we can do.
Very good. And once again, the website is mnafsc.org. Deb, we just got about a minute left. There was a lady who founded the Armed Forces Service Center, whose son died in Vietnam, And her daughter is here today, so when we come back, we're going to talk about that. But she spent her whole life on this project, didn't she?
She did. I had the honor of meeting Maggie Purdom at our grand opening in 2002 because, you know, after 9/11, we had to move from the ticketing area to the mezzanine, and she was present. So for me to hear that her son died in March of 1970, and then she opened this facility in November of 1970, she, as a Gold Star mom, she channeled her grief.
And what a way to do it. And when we come back, we're going to meet her daughter, Nancy Purdom Hall, and learn the whole story of why this is here and how you've serviced over, you've taken care of over a million service members in those 49 years. Great work, Deb. It's always wonderful to see you. And Rick, keep up the good work out here. Sergeant Major, we're just about out of time. When we come back, we're going to learn the real story on how this started. So both of you, Deb and Rick, thanks for joining us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for your service, gentlemen.
Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. And today's show, we're recording from the grand opening of the new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And in a moment, we're going to meet the daughter of the founder of this facility. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor all African-American veterans, those serving today and those who have served throughout history. African-Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contribution African-Americans have made to our state and country.
Commissioner Herkey, for more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening of this segment, I'm Tom Lyons, the host of Minnesota Military Radio, and our co-host today is Doug Wortham. We're at the grand opening of the beautiful new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. And joining us now is Nancy Purdom Hall, a board member and the founder's daughter. Nancy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks so much for having me.
This is a beautiful facility, and it's so nice to meet you today, but we want to tell the story. Your mother put her whole heart and her whole life into this facility for the last 49 years.
Yes, she did.
And we want to get to the origins of that. I understand that your brother was a fellow Vietnam veteran, as I am.
Yes.
And that when he was on the way over there, he stopped in Seattle, and there was another service center there that he was pretty impressed with.
Yes, it was called the Traveler's Aid, and everybody was having to fly standby at that point, all our veterans and our service
military.
Thank you. And, you know, they're on their benches. They're on benches. They're on their duffel bags. And they just welcomed him. And he just saw this concept and thought, we have to have one in Minnesota.
Instead of just sitting or sleeping on those hard benches back in those days.
Yes.
Airports weren't as beautiful as they are today.
No, they aren't. No.
We were roughing it a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and as I said, you had to fly standby, so.
So he sent a note back to your mom.
Yes, he did.
And what did he tell her?
He just said, "Mom, it's, I stayed at this place, and it's just incredible. They welcomed me. They offered me beverages. It just felt like a safe haven, and I wish you could make something like this happen in Minnesota.
So he was really impressed with it because they went out of their way to take care of our military as they were passing through the airports.
Yeah, they really treated him nicely, and, you know, people weren't treating people very nicely back then.
Well, and back in those days, you were flying military, you were flying standby, and you had to fly in your uniform, special fares. So there was no hiding the fact that you were in the military. And back then, there were anti-war riots. There was all kind of things going on. And unfortunately, my generation was beat up a little bit, but most of us survived.
Yes.
So that's where your mother got the bug.
Right. And Scott, I just have to say that Scott was the kind of person that if there was flooding, he was out sandbagging. There was somebody that was disabled, he was helping them. He saw things like that and just made things happen like that. So he asked Mom to proceed, and Mom made some inquiries, and she kind of got pushed to the side. Everybody thought it was a great idea, but she's a 40-some-year-old woman, mother, housewife, you know, and
she wasn't going to stop.
No, she wasn't. This was, but it did get put on the back burner because they said, you have to come up with this much money. And she was trying to get the money, and Traveler's Aid in Seattle really helped her
get to the resources. So she went to all the different
organizations.
Yes, organizations. Thank you so much. I'm a little scattered. And they helped her raise the money. So she came to the MAC, presented them with the money. They found a space for her.
The Airport Commission?
Yes, Minneapolis Airport Commission.
Did she check with the USO? Did she ever try to partner with them?
They weren't interested.
Didn't want to do it?
No.
So then she was really on her own.
Yes, she really was.
Okay, and then, so she was started on a mission.
Right, and then it kind of got on the back burner, and then we lost Scotty.
Yeah, and that's another thing I wanted to ask you about, because he never got to see the Air Force or the Armed Forces Service Center.
No, he didn't.
He was, can you tell us about when we lost him? It was before this was even open.
Yes, it was in March of 1970, and that really, with his remains came the last letter saying don't give up on it.
Well, he was. I understand he was on a flight, and he was up in Da Nang, and unfortunately they had some problems, and the plane crashed, and 23 crew members, including your brother, lost their lives in that accident. And unfortunately, he didn't survive to see this, but I'll bet that made your mother even more convinced that she had to go on this mission and get this done.
That was the catalyst. It was not going to not happen, excuse me.
So I'd never got a chance to meet her, but I've seen the evidence and seen what she's done, so I can just see she was going to go get it done.
Yes, she was.
And you were with her all the way.
Well, I was 12, but yes.
Well, this has been a big part of your life, too.
Right. Oh, it has been, yeah. She had four kids at home. You know, she was determined. And what's so beautiful about it is she was so gracious in her process as far as not taking no for an answer.
That she was determined. She got it done. We're speaking with Nancy Purdom Hall, who is a board member of the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport, and the daughter of the founder. And we were talking about her mother, who did so much work to make this a reality. And do you suppose she ever had any idea that a million service members would come through this facility?
I think she did. I think that she would call them at least once a week and check in and see how everything was going. You know, my dad had Parkinson's, and she was pretty much tied up with him. But her heart was always here.
And this has become a big part of your life, too.
Yes, it has. And before, there's always been a family member on the board. Before that, it was my sister, Penny.
Very good. And we've met a lot of the volunteers out here, and they're just marvelous people.
They're amazing. They are amazing. They welcome our service members so beautifully and make sure they're always taken care of.
Now, we talked in the first couple of segments with Rick and Deb that this is a nonprofit, 501c3 nonprofit. Not affiliated with the USO or any other facility.
Correct.
So you're on your own.
Yes.
And you've got a lot of volunteers.
Yes. We have so many volunteers. We need more. We always could use some more cash. I mean, we've quadrupled the amount of people that have come through now, at least.
And we talked with Rick about the budget, so donations are welcome.
Money's tight.
Yeah, money's always tight. There's always people looking for it. And the website is mnafsc.org. And if you go on that website and click on volunteer, you can go to that page, and there's a form you can fill out. Submit that, send it in, come out for some orientation, go through a little security check, and you can pick your own shift, right?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. You can just go online and click everything. Everything's so streamlined now.
What do you think of the fact that this facility has been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 49 years?
It blows my mind. It really does. I mean, the dedication we have to take care of our service people is just overwhelming.
And it's all donations and it's all volunteer.
Yes.
And the service members, Sergeant Major, you've gone through a lot of these service centers. It's really a respite, a place to relax for a few minutes. And it's very important, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And I've done a lot of traveling. And so when my layover allows, I always seek out a Armed Forces Service Center or USO, whatever the facility happens to have. And it is extremely important for our service members, really just to be able to get away from the hustle and the bustle out in the terminal area, you know, or the concourse area. You know, it's good to get away from that and be alone and do your own thing and have someone take care of you, give you a free hot dog or something, you know. So, yeah, this is really important to our service members. And for 49 years, this has been going on. I mean, you know, you talked about determination, you talked about volunteers, you talked about cash, but really, what else has been the secret to that success? How have you been able to do it?
All I can say is I think that everyone that's affiliated with the center knows how important you are to us.
It's all from the heart, isn't it?
It's all from the heart.
Well, Nancy, you and your family have done a magnificent job out here, and I'd like to thank you for my first visit almost 50 years ago, and I hope that that this place is here 50 years from now.
Oh, thanks.
What are you planning for the 50th anniversary? It's coming up.
Well, we're going to have a gala. We're going to have a dinner. And
we can call it a fundraiser, too?
Yes, we would call it a fundraiser.
Of course.
I will be begging for money. So we will have, there's a band coming. I'm not certain if it's going to be a famous band, but we've got quite a beautiful plan going.
Well, I've got a favor to ask you.
Yes.
Once you get all the details of that gala worked out, can you and Deb Kane come to the station and tell me all about it?
We'd love to.
Because wherever it's going to be and however many tables and seats you have, we want to make sure we fill every one of them.
Oh, wonderful.
Because the Armed Forces Service Center here at the airport is very important to our service members. And what a beautiful facility. I can't get over it. You and your family, your mother, you have done a wonderful job. And I bet your brother's really proud of all of you.
Yeah, I know he is.
Well, thanks for visiting with us today, and I appreciate meeting you and hearing the story.
Thanks so much.
That was Nancy Purdom Hall, board member and the founder's daughter from the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the grand opening of the Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center at the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport. My co-host for this show has been Doug Wortham, recently retired Command Sergeant Major from the Minnesota National Guard, and we're joined now by Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, welcome back to the show. You're getting to be a frequent guest.
Yeah, that's great, Tom. I'm glad to be back again, and this is a great opportunity to get back together.
Sir, and we've had a lot of stories to talk about programs and services and homes, and you're building homes, but today the exciting thing is the Armed Forces Service Center, which I went through on the way to Vietnam back in 1970 and 71.
You're dating yourself there, Tom.
Well, sir, you can't avoid it, but that was a little small service center, but it was a respite. It was a nice place to stop at, and of course, the founder. 49 years they've been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This new facility is just incredible.
Yes, and that entire time volunteers manning this facility. I just got a chance to walk through it. Great expansion and a lot more capability than they had before. And just a wonderful place. I remember the time when I went through several times on deployments, and it was just a great place to be able to stop to get a hot dog or a pastry and to be able to rest for a little bit before you moved on to your next mission.
And this one's got a lot of expanded amenities, a lounge area, dining room, big kitchen, business center, baggage room, 3 restrooms, shower room, a bunk room for the ladies, 10 bunks in there, and 30 bunks for the guys, and even space for moms and children in here. And for our listeners, when you come into the airport and you check through security, you go down to the very end of the C concourse, right where the A and B concourse start, and you'll see signs, and you go up to the second floor, and you'll be amazed. This is a beautiful facility, Commissioner.
It is something else, and I really like the opportunity. I remember last time I went through, I actually used the sleeping facilities because we were waiting between one flight and the next, and to expand those. I remember it was a very small room last time, and now, like you said, we've got over 40 beds that are available. And I'd like to also say thank you to the legislatures that helped. We had a little part in this, helping with the furniture and some of the equipment that's related to this. So there was $100,000 that was appropriated, and we were able to pass that through and to help out with this particular upgrade for the Armed Forces Service Center.
And we'll have a couple of those elected officials on shortly so we can talk about that process. And what a wonderful facility, and it's a 501c3 nonprofit, and it relies on volunteers and it relies on donations.
Yes, and that's important. I talk about collaborations when we've talked before. The collaboration here is just as important. And I think, unlike a lot of other facilities, putting this behind the security, I think is really going to increase the use of it. A lot of times service members want to get as quickly as they can through security, and then they have some time on their hands, being people that are punctual and so forth. This will allow them a place to actually spend that time.
And Commissioner, you and the Sergeant Major here both spent decades in the military, and we were asking him how important are these service centers at the airports around the country. They're very important to our service members, I think.
They're very important, and it's something that the service members really look forward to, and in this case, even veterans that have retired and so forth have an opportunity to also participate and be here as they're waiting for their flights going forward.
You know, what's funny is that you associate it coming into a center like this the same way I did, and that is a place to go in and just get a hot dog, you know?
Yep.
Just something quick to eat and get you going again.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Busy schedules.
And Commissioner, expanded facilities, you can stop in. They've got some nice lounge chairs here. They've got the ability to charge up all of your electronics these days, get some food, water, sleep, take a shower, whatever you need to do. What a fantastic expansion. And they can take even better care of our service members and our veterans today.
Yes, I would encourage all service members and veterans to come down and see the locations. I found it, so it's not difficult to get to. Just take the end of the tram, and once you get off, just look for the door to the left and go up to the second floor, and they'll take care of you here. Like I said, there's always smiling faces and warm food.
And, sir, for our listeners out there, if they want to go to mnafsc.org, if you want to volunteer or you want to donate to help take care of our service members while they're passing through this airport, this is a 501c3 nonprofit, not affiliated with the USO, and they need all of your support, all the volunteers and all the donors they can get. Commissioner?
That's right. Volunteering is important, and they need some help and assistance. If you are a veteran out there that would like to volunteer, this is a great place to do that. And, again, I encourage service members and their families, the veterans, come here and see what this new place is like.
Well, Commissioner, busy day. We got to get to the grand opening ceremony, but thank you for taking a few minutes to talk with us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
It was the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Larry Herkey, Service Center, and we've talked a little bit about the history. It's been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 49 years. It's down at the end of Concourse C, where it meets Concourse A and B up on the second floor. It's a beautiful facility, and it probably could not have been done without the support of the state legislature. So we have Representative Rob Eklund in here, and we have Representative Bob Detmer, and we have Senator Anderson. We have three of our elected officials in the conference room of the new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center. And Senator Anderson, I'm going to start with you. Had to have a lot of help, I think, from the House and the Senate in order to help this 501c3 get some funds to develop this new facility.
Well, it's always a team effort, and we appreciate the House coming alongside the Senate and vice versa, the Senate coming alongside the House, and meshing all the words together that needed to be happening. And we knew the governor would be much on top of this whole thing and supporting it. And so I think it was as much as we think legislation is hard to get through, I think this one was a pretty non-controversial thing to do.
And so the state legislature approved, was it $100,000 for the budget?
That's correct.
And we moved into a great big new facility, and they say the number of veterans coming through here has increased greatly. And and we found out today that it's very important to our service members to have a facility like this. And, Bob, you know that. You served in the military, and you've got a couple sons serving.
That's right. I've come through here with the facility, the old facility, and our twin sons have done that too. So it's a great place to come and relax. And, again, we have worked together, as the senator mentioned, that and also with the commissioner and the governor to put this together along with the airport commission. It's a great project, and it's one of only, I think, eight in the country that are set up this way.
And open 24 hours a day, 7 days
a
week.
Yes.
So once again, here we are in Minnesota leading the charge, and we've got one of the best facilities in the country, and it is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And Representative Eklund, you helped participate in this and go get some funds to help with this project.
Well, thanks. And when this bill was brought to us, I remember back in my days coming through, 76 to 79, every time I stopped in the airport, I knew that the Minneapolis airport had a place that I could stay if I had a long layover or something like that. And I said, absolutely, let's get on this. And especially moving it inside security, that makes it a whole lot difference for our servicemen and women, because then they don't have to go outside of security to where the old facility was. And I just want to give a big shout out to the volunteers. It's amazing that a volunteer effort like this has been run for so long and looks like it'll be run long into the future, and I appreciate it.
Sir, very important for our service members to be able to get away from the hubbub and just relax a little bit, recharge all their technology, get some food, maybe get a shower or a bunk, take a nap. This is what a beautiful facility.
I can't wait to see the tour of it. I'm real excited.
Senator Anderson, this is a 501c3 nonprofit. For 49 years, it's been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and they rely on volunteers and donations to pay the budget, to pay the bills.
That's fantastic. I mean, to see the volunteers come through and to see former members of the military be a part of that. And I have a daughter that's an E9 that comes through on a regular basis. She's flying all over the United States and the world, for that matter, and she's used this facility and is very appreciative of it.
Representative Detmer, can't say enough about the volunteers here. There's some people who have been volunteering here for decades.
Well, Chair Eklund just hit it right on the nose. When you come in here right away, you're greeted right away. You sign in, and they ask you your background and so forth. And it's just those volunteers just make it a day, and sometimes a night, too.
Representative Eklund, we've talked before about this, but when it comes to veterans and veterans issues and supporting our service members, all of our elected officials have a tendency to pull together and put their other differences aside.
Well, and you can really see that when our bills come out of the Veterans Committee, both the House and Senate, they're nonpartisan. They're to take care of our veterans and the needs that have come up. So I really appreciate that. So.
Senator Anderson, it's a fun thing for us civilians to watch, to see everybody come together and pull and take care of our service members that are sacrificing so much and their families that are sacrificing.
Exactly.
This is a great day and the culmination of a lot of people coming together to make this happen.
And I appreciate all that the volunteers have done to help and be behind this project, along with the fact that we were able to pull it together and make the governor, or not make the governor, but get the governor to sign it.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you joining us today at the new Minnesota Armed Forces Service Center and for the grand opening. And I think the ceremony is going to start in a few minutes. So we had Representative Eklund, Senator Anderson, and Representative Detmer. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. If you're a Minnesota veteran and would like to share your story, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Deborah Kane and Rick Dale, Nancy Purdom Hull, Representative Rob Eklund, Representative Bob Detmer, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we hear the latest from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system and speak to Minnesota's Commander-in-Chief, Governor Tim Walz. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.